Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
It's back out to Gibbs. Much, much better from Arsenal. Arteta. Sanya with the header! What a goal that was! Bakary Sanya timed his run to perfection and the Gunners have a lifeline. He hasn't scored for over a year. Could that be a crucial goal for Arsenal?
Happened so fast, everything happened so fast, like I lost my brother in a way that I didn't expect. I managed to separate my private life and my work, but obviously you have a setback, and I think I had the setback later on my second season where everything became slow, where I struggled to focus and I made mistakes. Like, I was not myself. I knew I could perform better, but I know what I can bring to the team, and I was not myself until the psychology team came to me and talked to me, and I opened up.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of In Lockdown with me, Josh James. Before we get going with today's interview, just a reminder to make sure that you subscribe to this series so that you always get the latest show as soon as they're released. Our guest this time around is Bakary Sanya. Bak was arguably the best right back in the country during his time at Arsenal, and he played his part in some truly historic games. So thanks very much for joining us today, Bak. First of all, where are you speaking to us from?
Hi everyone. Well, I'm based in Montreal now. I live in Montreal, Canada, since I came and played in MLS. So I'm home. I'm staying in, and I'm just being patient, like everyone, because we have a lockdown here in Montreal, and yeah, we have to respect it. So I'm home. I'm doing everything from home. I'm here with my family. I'm doing homeschool for my kids, and yeah, everything is okay.
Cool, that's good. Well, we've got a lot to get through because you spent 7 seasons at Arsenal. You played nearly 300 games, so there's lots to cover. Let's go right back. You'd grown up at Auxerre in France. It'd been your youth career had been there. So it must have been a big decision, was it, for you to leave to join Arsenal in 2007?
Well, you know, I reached the academy when I was 15 years old. I went to boarding school, and at the same time I was training. So I graduated little by little until I reached the professional side. But I still played three full years as a professional for the first team in Auxerre, and I fully enjoyed it. I was able to be surrounded by players like Philippe Mexès, like Boumsong, like Cissé. So I learned a lot with them. And I think moving to Arsenal was the right time for me because after playing 3 full seasons, I was playing for French national team under 21 or so, and I felt good. I felt confident, and I think Arsenal move came at the right time of my career.
What I want to know is, though, why did you wear the number 3 shirt? Why did was that your choice? Did you get told to wear the number 3? It's very unusual for a right back to have the number 3.
Well, in Auxerre, number 2 was taken by another player, which was at that time the best right back of France. So I learned a lot looking up to him. And so I used to wear number 29. Coming to Arsenal, number 2 was taken by Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
So obviously I couldn't take it. And they just told me, look, you're going to be wearing number 3. But back in the days, I didn't know it had a meaning. I just said, okay, no problem. 3 is for a defender. So it might be a bit weird for me to wear number 3 because usually left back has to wear it. but not many numbers were available. Other numbers were like big numbers. So I got to number 3, but at the end realized maybe 1 or 2 years later, I realized by talking with Guy Clichy.
So in your first 17 games at Arsenal, you remained unbeaten. You must have been thinking that English football was really easy, were you, at this point?
I was already thinking about lifting the cup, to be honest, because everything was going so well for us. Even whenever we played, and I think during the first game, we were like most of the time 1-0 down, but we always managed to come back and we always managed to win, especially the first game against Fulham, where we were losing, we were dominating, and we managed to win at the end. And every single game was the same scenario, you know? So I was so confident that we would win the league, and I was thinking, oh, that's great. My first season, I would be like lifting the cup and the trophy.
Yeah, because everything was going well on the pitch. We had a 28-game unbeaten run in all competitions, and that remains the longest in the club's history. So, I mean, just how good was that team? It almost gets forgotten, that team, because it didn't win the league. But how good do you think it was?
You know, we played free of mind. We were just friends playing football and enjoying football together. And we didn't realize the impact it had on the pitch and off the pitch also. We were so into it, and we just had fun during training session, and we just gave 100% game after game, not thinking about what's next. You know, we enjoyed that moment, and I believe the fact that we had Arsene Wenger helped us a lot, because he was always positive, always trying to have the good word and always put us in the best conditions to perform. And I think we had a good bond on the team and a good team spirit.
So it looked like, as you said, we were going to win the trophy, win the league that year. I guess the big turning point was the game away to Birmingham when, of course, Eduardo got injured. What are your memories of that day?
Ooh, it was a weird day, you know? The game seems abordable. The game seems like we're going to win the game, but we were 1-0 down. I think they scored a free kick, if I remember, against the odds. But we kept playing as a team. We kept playing well. We kept having chances until Eduardo got injured. And it was a shock to everyone. I remember Cesc being white by seeing the injury, the impact of the injury. And yeah, we were shocked because Eduardo was, as I said, our brother. And when someone gets hurt, everyone is hurt. I don't know if it had an impact on the rest of the game. But yeah, for sure, it was a turning point in our season.
Yeah, you said that Cesc Fabregas particularly looked shocked. I remember the game. A lot of players were walking around the pitch. Looked like they struggled to really focus on the game. Was that what it was like? Some players maybe took it harder than others?
I think, yeah. I believe we're all different, you know, and we all express our feelings in a different way. And some will take it, some will keep going, and some will struggle to do it. And we are only humans. And I think everyone got hurt in a way, and some more than others. But unfortunately, it's part of football, and we know by playing football, we can get injured quite badly. And yeah, it was a bad day. We lost it all, honestly, because we didn't win, because we lost one of our player, and he was scoring every single goal. He was clinical, you know. That season, every time he was in front of the goal, he used to score, and he was so confident. And you know, when you We stick together and we fight together. And when you lose someone back in the day, we're young, and maybe we didn't know how to deal with this kind of injuries, because for most of us, it was the first time to see it live. And you have to be able to separate feelings and work. But as I said before, we're only humans. And yeah, it was just a bad day, a bad memory.
There was a lot of attention on William Gallas as well at that time. He was the captain of the team. What was your take on that? How do you think he handled it? Because presumably you someone that you know well, another Frenchman. How did you think he coped with it?
Well, obviously, he didn't react in a good way, because he should have not stayed on the pitch that day. Maybe he was upset. We were all upset. And he stayed on the pitch and made a statement in front of everyone. That was his mistake. But I know William, and he came from deep inside. He came from like a good a good intention. You know, he was not happy, and he knew we how good we were, and he didn't accept the team like losing points this way. You know, one more time, it was not the right attitude to have as a captain, also because he was probably our main player back in the days, and everyone would have loved him to maybe to express it in a dressing room, like it should happen anywhere. But I don't want to say he is the reason why we fell that season, because after that, it became a big story in England.
Yeah.
Maybe as player, we should have protected him a bit more and deal with the situation inside, you know, but we didn't. And I think I have the feeling like we let it down also at the same time, you know.
What, the players, the other players?
I think so, yeah. Maybe we were upset, but at the end of the day, we still had so many games to play.
Yeah.
You know, he made a mistake. If you have to let him know, let him know. But then look forward to keep performing, you know.
Yeah, because we were still in the title race, weren't we, after that?
We were, yes.
Until the Chelsea game, when you got injured. It was the end of your season. sorry to bring this up, but it's just when you look back at the season, that was a huge turning point because you had scored your first Arsenal goal in that game. We were winning. And then you got, an ankle injury?
Yeah, I twisted my ankle and I torn my ligament. And yeah, it was also a weird game because Chelsea was, back in the days, one of the best teams in the league. They had so many big players. You know, I used to watch these players on TV, and suddenly I'm here playing against them, and I'm scoring my first goal also, 1 month after losing my brother, so full of emotions. And I remember clearing the ball, and I think the pitch was a bit slippery, you know, and my back heel like slipped a bit more than it should, and tore my ligament. So I believe I could play. It was like painful, but not so much. But it took like 4 to 5 minutes before I realized I couldn't play anymore, you know. And maybe 2 or 3 minutes after Edwe came in, they scored. It was like a terrible scenario, honestly. I was thinking, okay, now we are in a good shape of winning the game and we are confident. And maybe we're going to create more chances and we're going to win the game. But at the end of the day, I was injured. We lost points. We lost it all, you know, and it was the end of my season.
How difficult was that for you off the pitch, watching the team? And as you said, you'd had your terrible family tragedy as well to deal with. It must have been a really difficult time. You're still really new to London at that point, your first year in London.
I didn't really realise, you know. It happened so fast. Everything happened so fast. Like, I lost my brother in a way that I didn't expect. From one day to another, it was gone. But then we had the Champions League game against AC Milan maybe 1 week later, so I had to play because to me I couldn't let the team down, you know. I managed to separate my private life and my work. But obviously you have a setback, and I think I had the setback later on my second season where everything became slow, where I struggled to focus and I made mistakes. Like, I was not myself. I knew I could perform better, but I know what I can bring to the team, and I was not myself. Until the psychology team came to me and talked to me, and I opened up. But I used to do like I used to go training like a robot, you know. I used to drive to training and not even remember the way.
This was in your second season.
Yeah, because I never opened up, you know. Yeah, I'm always quiet. This is my nature, you know. I don't like to show off, you know. I'm here to train to give my best. And. And then if I have to step forward, I would. But I'm naturally quiet.
Yeah. Do you think that talk with the psychologist really helped you then to get back to your form?
I know deep inside I could have done better. I could have been more decisive, whether with Arsenal or even with the national team. I know I could have done better. I don't know if it had a big impact on my confidence. But at some point, I was not so confident like I was during my first season, you know. And it took time before I came back to normal. But I know during my whole life, it would have been different if nothing happened, you know, because I would have played free of mind. But then also you have, at the same time, you have to deal with critics. As confident as I was, as less confident I became at some point of my life and at some point of my career, you know. And it's not easy to deal with, but I didn't have any choice. So I put the head down, I work.
It must be frustrating when you say you get critics who are just talking about what's happening on the pitch, but there's so much happening off the pitch that they don't know, nobody knows about.
No, they didn't know. No one knew because I never opened on them. I never talked.
Did your teammates know?
Yes, they knew, obviously, because they were living with me. But they were so good with me, you know. They made me laugh so much and they were good. I remember getting Gael Clichy taking me to a show called Africa Africa in London, in O2 Arena with his whole family, because I knew Gael from the national team and he was really close to me and he really helped me to go through it. Even the other guys, you know, they made me laugh and they made me realize that, you know, I'm still blessed no matter what happened. It's a blessing and I have to go forward. And everyone was good at the club, even the coach, everyone talked to me in a way that to help me. But, you know, then it's something personal. And,
yeah, of course, of course.
And at some point, it catch you back, you know. But talking to Neil, his name was Neil, the psychologist, I think it helped me a lot. It helped me a lot because maybe he had a different point of view. He used to see me from a different way and he realized that, for example, my vision was empty. You know, I was here but not here. And he came to me one night. He came up to me before a game and he said, "Can I talk to you?" And I said, "Yes, of course." So he got to my room and he said, "Look, I realize that you're here but you're not here." And I said, "What do you mean?" And he said to me, "Oh, but I observe you since a bit of time and you're here but your mind is taken somewhere else." And he made the link with what happened, and I naturally opened up to him, and he's a great guy, honestly.
And then that changed you on the pitch as well? Did that help your football to come back?
It did, yeah. I felt like, okay, I let it go now. It's time for me to step up. It's time for me to try to forget and just enjoy. Just enjoy it and just enjoy the fact that I'm wearing the shirt and it's not down to everyone. And little by little, I came back being to my best.
Yeah, and I think that 2010-11 season, when you were named in the team of the season, again, the Premier League team of the season, again, Arsenal looked like they were going to win trophies. You were back on form. Do you think you were back to your best at that point?
I felt so good. And I felt really good, honestly, and until I got injured, until I broke my leg in Tottenham. But I felt so good, and you know, I was feeling great. And another injury happened, so it's just I believe it was a test, and I had to manage to go through it, and I've been through it. You know,
did the players ever talk amongst themselves about getting that trophy? Because this was the time when Arsenal were so close to winning trophies. Everyone was looking at them. Certainly had some of the best players in the country, but just couldn't get over the line. Did the players talk about that much amongst themselves?
No, we didn't realize, to be honest. We just played game by game, and we were winning a lot of games, but obviously and eventually when we had to perform on certain game, we were failing. Why? I don't know. Maybe because we put too much pressure on ourselves, but most of the game we had to play, we played and we played well and we won. But for example, when we had to play against the top four, we found it difficult to play against top four teams at that time.
But you don't know, you still don't know the reason why? Because the talent was there. There's no doubt that the players were good enough.
I believe we under-evaluated ourselves by seeing them like playing for Chelsea, image-wise, was something different. They used their image a lot. They used to be the big players in the national team, and we used to talk about them more than they talked about us. So maybe in our head they were bigger players than us. But on the pitch we had as much quality as they had. Whenever we played and we played the Arsenal way, no one could beat us. I believe no one could beat us. We used to play simple passes, 1-2 touches max, and it was smooth, you know? And I believe we under-evaluated ourselves, which is a big mistake in life.
Was that frustrating for you as someone who, as you've always been professional, you're a leader, you've always been very consistent as a player. And I remember that you were often the player, when we had lost, you were the guy that went and had to speak to the media and to say, you know, we can bounce back. That must have been difficult for you to keep saying that and not really saying what you truly believed.
I believed we could. I always believed we could. And I always been honest with the press and I always let my mind out, you know. I always spoke my mind. And I will always, and no matter whenever I say it, like, we could bounce back, we could. We could have done it. Even if we lost points, because any team can lose points. We had the quality I knew, and I was aware of the quality we had in the team. As long as we were confident and we played, we could beat anyone. We could beat anyone. I remember the game we played against Barca at home. No one could see us winning, but the way we played, and I believe we dictated the game. We stopped them from playing the game, and we beat them at home. So it's a statement. Not everyone could do it, but we did it, even with young players, even with young Jack Wilshere, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a symbol of how good we were. But at some point, when we had to perform and when we had to step up and make another statement, sometimes we're feeling like the Carling Cup final against Birmingham, where we should have won.
Do you think things would have been different had we won that trophy? Would we have gone on to win more trophies?
Not necessarily, because every single season is different. And whenever you win a trophy, maybe sometimes you have a setback because you get overconfident and you stop working the way you should. But I think for morality of the team, it would have been great, you know, to cut the sayings and everyone talking about us failing. And maybe it would have been good to win a trophy earlier.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
How difficult was it for the team to deal with the captain leaving quite often? Because Cesc Fabregas left when he was one of the best players in the world. Robin van Persie left. What effect did that have on the rest of the team?
Well, eventually, and obviously we're not happy, because when you see a top quality player leaving, for him it's good, because if he's performing and if it is time to leave, it's time to leave, you know. I will never criticize someone for leaving or for taking his own way. But as a player, of course, you want to keep playing with the best players. And they were the best players. Cesc was outstanding, you know. I think he won the World Cup with Spain. He was regular in the Spanish team. He was vital in our offensive play. And Robin was wasn't real in front of the goal. He was clinical. Everyone he was shooting was goal. And it's always difficult to see players leaving. But one more time, you have to deal with it and you have to adapt. And we had to.
And let's move on then back to the football. And still looking for trophies, Arsenal, you're into your seventh year. And that was the season when we did finally manage to get that trophy, the 2014 FA Cup. Tell us about your memories of the day, the final itself, because Arsenal were under a lot of pressure going into that game.
Oof, yeah. Yeah,
we were under a lot of pressure
because now it was a day, a special day. I call it a special day because I knew I was leaving also. So it was a very emotional day for me personally and for the team also because we had in mind the 2011 Cup final against Birmingham. And we couldn't fail anymore because it was the right time for us to win trophies. And I knew personally it was my last chance to win a trophy with my team. And thanks God we did. I keep, you know, until today I keep watching the replay.
How do you?
I do. I do because it was a crazy game. The scenario of the game was mental, you know. And when I see I have goosebumps watching the game, I have goosebumps. And the way I fell after 10 minutes was terrible because I had tears coming. I was thinking, no, I cannot leave this way. No matter what and how much it will take, we'll win that game. And I don't want to leave that way. I don't want to leave on the defeat and I don't want to leave losing. I don't want that image for my life, you know. And we managed to come back at 2-2. Big atmosphere, nice day. And the fans were pushing us a lot, you know. I can still see image of the face. I can see everything. I can still see everything whenever we are tuning down. They were like down and her fans were singing a lot. The fans kept singing and it helped us a lot on the pitch. Whenever we scored the first goal, I knew we were coming back because they start being tired and we start taking over the game. We start playing with more freedom. And yeah, after scoring the second goal, they were tired and they couldn't stop us.
So at full time, when the final whistle went, tell me your emotion when the whistle went and you realised you'd won the cup.
Well, it was something special, you know, because that was my dream, to win something with my team. I did, but I was sad at the same time because now you're taking my emotions out, you know. And I was sad at the same time because I knew it was my last game, so a mix of feeling. It was a nice feeling, of course, because winning is special. But I was sad at the same time because I didn't want that moment to end. I wanted that moment to last. But it was kind of a goodbye.
Because that was the end of, as you said, you knew it was your last game, the end of your contract. How long had you known? Had it been going on all season, negotiations between you and the club that you might still stay? Was there a chance you could have stayed?
No, because I made up my mind maybe 1 year earlier because, you know, when I was in Arsenal, I always gave my best. I gave everything. And I was talking earlier about undervaluated someone and myself. And I always evaluated myself. And I believe at some point they didn't enough or I didn't feel they did, you know. And I went to the end of my contract. I played like there's no tomorrow, you know. Every single game was a war to me. And we had to win, and I couldn't fail, and I couldn't disappoint people. And I stayed on the same contract for 6 years, I believe. I never asked for anything. And until today, I will never ask anything to someone. But at some point, I was expecting like kind of reward, you know. It's nice to feel love from the club. And he never came. So 1 year before the end of my contract, I was thinking, look, okay, now what's next, you know? You're reaching maybe the end of your contract, you're going to be 31, and the love didn't come. They were love, but not, you know. Maybe I was dreaming too much. Maybe I was thinking, like, it's a fairy tale, you know. I would play and finish my career in Arsenal.
So do you have any regrets now about that time when you look back, about how it ended?
Yes. I didn't want to live that way. I left in a hurry. Couldn't say bye to the people. I didn't say bye properly. And it was ugly, you know. The way I left it was really ugly. I came back to the stadium and no one was booing me. You know? It was a shock. To me, it was a shock.
Yeah, not everyone. Not everyone back was booing you. But
a lot of people at the stadium.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know they did because they loved me in a way. But I didn't expect this kind of return, you know. Because to me, I gave it all. And obviously, no one knows what happened deep inside. They didn't dig in to see what happened and why I left and the reason I left. They only saw I left for Man City and they made a link with money. They have the choice and to be upset at me, you know. At the end of the day, I can't do much, but I didn't like the way I left. And it's ugly, you know.
So are you still an Arsenal man now, though? Are your family still Arsenal fans? I remember seeing pictures of your kids, I think, on social media at Arsenal tops.
So he's a saying, once a gunner, always a gunner, no?
So you're still in touch with people at Arsenal? You still follow the team?
I still follow the team, yeah. Whenever I can, I watch a game. If Arsenal plays, I have to watch. When they score, I'm happy deep inside. I don't show it a lot, but I'm happy. Yes, I'm happy.
And now you're in Montreal in Canada. Are you still playing for Montreal?
I'm not anymore. I played here for 1 year and a half. And at the minute, I'm an ambassador for the team, you know. So I'm going to try to help the team as much as I can. Trying to bring my own experience because I had the chance to play for Arsenal and City. Big teams, bigger organizations. And I believe the team here has a good potential to perform in the MLS.
Do you ever fancy going into coaching or anything like that?
I was supposed to pass my coaching badges in May because I have the feeling I have to give back to people, to kids or whoever who I can give it back, the way I learn and the things I learn through football. With any single coach, I learn something and I have to give it back. And if it was maybe a few years earlier, I would have said, no, I don't want to be a coach. I want to cut football from my life because it takes a lot of time. I want to spend more time with my family. But football is in my blood, so now I might pass my badges as soon as the situation is cleared. And we'll see. We'll start from there.
And are there any plans to come back to London?
At the minute I'm here, my family is happy here. I like it here, but you never know. I love London. I still have my house in London. To watch football is the best place in the world. It's a great city. And it's close to my hometown too. It's close to my home country. So we never know. At the minute, I'm happy here in Montreal and we'll see.
That's great. Back, thanks very much for your time today. It's been fascinating catching up and going back down memory lane, speaking about your days at Arsenal. It's great to hear from you again.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay, and just at home, if you've been enjoying this series, then please leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. And don't forget to subscribe as well, wherever you get your podcasts from. So until next time, thanks for listening.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.